shut down. Which of these stories will you be talking about tomorrow? Oh, wait a minute. That's a different show. Hey, happy Friday, Truth Seekers. Brad Friedman here, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, and muckraker from bradblog.com. Once again, drafted into duty to be the broadcast media tonight, our last night, after a full week, actually. We started last Friday. Remember that? April Fool's show? Didn't get too much hate mail. Had one person on the Facebook said, I hate you, Brad. Other than that, that went pretty well. And we've had a great week, a wild ride here ever since. Tonight is likely to be no exception, I'm sad to say. So you will want to stay tuned for the next 3 hours as we head towards the possibility of a government shutdown, a federal government shutdown, whatever that actually means. And we will hope to find out what that means shortly when we speak with one of my guests tonight, David Dayan of Fire Dog Lake, to try to get the latest to figure out what's the holdup here at this late hour, what the fight is really about, what's actually going to happen, and frankly, what a government shutdown actually may mean to you and me and everybody else. I do know one of the things that it'll mean is that I think they shut down the national parks, and Desi had our producer had plans to go out to Sequoia in a week or two, I think, with some family. So that may be off. Oh, well, poor Desi. Unless they come to a solution tonight at midnight, Friday night, and we are live broadcasting from the left coast here tonight in beautiful, sunny, chilly, but sunny Los Angeles on Friday night live. And 3 hours from now would be East Coast midnight. And at that point, the government shuts down. It all ends. It's all over. The lights turn out. The apocalypse is upon us. Is it? I don't know. But that will be the end of our show. So we will end the show tonight by not just ending the show. We will also end the U.S. government as we know it, unless something changes. And if it does, we'll try to break in tonight all night with any live updates as they happen. I'll also be speaking a little bit later with my pal, my buddy, my fellow guest host, as guest hosts unite, Nicole Sandler of Radio or Not will be joining us a little bit later in the show, live from Florida. A lot of you folks may either know her from RadioOrNot.com or as the regular guest host for Randy Rhodes. So, yes, the guest hosts are taking over tonight. That's it. Get over it. Get used to it. Also, the latest news out of Wisconsin's Supreme debacle. And I mean debacle. And I just may have a word or two to say about that debacle tonight. We talked about it for quite a while yesterday on yesterday's show with someone who actually knows Waukesha County Clerk Kathy Nicholas and someone who's worked with her before. He was actually a Republican. And he says something smells fishy with these 14,000 votes suddenly, seemingly showing up out of nowhere, giving Supreme Court Justice, State Supreme Court Justice David Prosser, a 7,500 vote lead in that race. Well, I will have a word or two to say about that, if we should trust those numbers from this insidious lady, Kathy Nicholas. So you'll want to stay tuned for that. But first, let's get right to this government shutdown that may be upon us. We'll find out with my first guest of the night. Wait a minute. Before I introduce my first guest, I got to say the chat room is open. Sorry, Dave, hang on one second. The chat room is open at bradblog.com where For Earth and Dez are moderating. They would love to see you there. Come on by, stop by and make noise. And you can also Twitter us throughout the night at The Brad Blog. Okay, that business is out of the way, so I welcome my first guest, the news guy from the news desk at FireDogLake.com. Our old friend David Dayan joins us tonight. Hey, David, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Thank you, Brad. How you doing?
I'm doing well, and usually you're in studio with me, but it's been that kind of a day. I've been running on fumes, 2 hours sleep or something like that, working on Wisconsin all damn day long. Can't even see straight. So at the last minute, you kindly agreed to join the show here and tell me what the hell is going on. So, David Dayan, what the hell is going on? Is this government going to shut down at midnight? And then I'll ask you what it all means if it does.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to be able to sign off along with the government at midnight. It does look like in the last hour the framework of a deal has come together. It doesn't mean it's done. The House Republicans are going into a closed-door meeting in about 30 minutes from now to look over this deal. And if you want to know what they did, if you've been following this all day, basically the big holdout was this rider, this unrelated policy thing that would have defunded federal funding for Planned Parenthood.
Right.
Apparently the Democrats added another $1 billion in cuts and bought Planned Parenthood back. And that's the framework of the deal. So it would be a grand total of $39 billion in budget cuts from the 2010 baseline. And the riders on Planned Parenthood and the EPA would be out.
So they would be out. So funding for Planned Parenthood would continue. The EPA right now. To explain, what they were trying to do is keep the EPA from being able to enforce the mandate from the Supreme Court.
Correct.
To enforce global warming, pollution, greenhouse gases.
That's correct.
Okay.
So that's the framework of the deal. Mm-hmm. And they obviously don't think they're going to be able to write the bill within the next 3 hours. So the first step would be some sort of 3-day to 1-week stopgap funding bill at current levels to keep the government running until they have the time to actually write the bill.
Is there this is a framework, and I think we've heard frameworks in the past, over the past few days, that Boehner has agreed to, or people say that he has agreed to. So when we say there's a framework, we don't yet know if they're really going to stick with this framework at this point.
No, I mean, as I said, in about a half hour, we're going to have a meeting, a closed-door meeting with the GOP caucus, and we'll know a lot more at the close of that meeting. You know, obviously, nothing's decided until we know from the House GOP whether they're going to scuttle the deal or not. However, I would say that throughout the day, you've seen very prominent Republicans and even very prominent fiscal conservatives like Tom Coburn and Michelle Bachmann and Mike Huckabee say, you know, you got to give up on this and let's move on to the 2012 budget. We got what we wanted. Let's call a win a win. And by the way, it would be a win for the Republicans if they're able to get $39 billion in budget cuts in this fiscal year. It would be a great deal more than what the president requested. It'd be even $40 billion more than that of what the president requested in his budget request of 2011. It would be substantially more than what Congress could have passed in December in conjunction with the tax cut deal. Because this was left hanging out as another hostage-taking situation for the Republicans, you're looking at close to, I mean, I could go through all the math, but essentially most of the stimulative measures that were in that tax cut deal, the extension of this payroll, payroll tax cut, are pretty much all wiped out by the spending cuts that will be in this deal. And we don't know where these spending cuts will specifically go, but what we can say is that failure to put the budget to bed when the Democrats had very large majorities cost them something on the order of $60 billion. If you go to news.firedoglake.com, I lay that out specifically with the numbers.
Is it fair to say that these riders that the Republicans had been keeping in here to defund Planned Parenthood and so on and so forth, is it fair to say that they were keeping those in to do pretty much the way you described it, to buy additional cuts elsewhere, that is what they ended up quote unquote giving up, while the Democrats actually gave up real things? to get this deal?
Absolutely. It was a bargaining chip. It was a way for them to take women's health hostage or take the environment hostage, and they got their ransom for it. In the end, you have to look at this on politics and policy. On politics, for most of the day, the Democrats actually, you know, won, whatever that means, because they were able to put the Republicans very much on the defensive in terms of their agenda on, mm-hmm. on women's health and Planned Parenthood and things like that. But on the policy, which is very different, this is a huge victory for conservatives, it's a huge victory for the Tea Party, and it's a huge loss for the overall economy. We're in a state, we're in a country where we're at 8.8% unemployment. We have 14 million people unemployed.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing we need now is for the federal government to engage in contractionary fiscal policy, and yet, that's what this deal is. Cutting the budget at a time you should be expanding it.
I think there is no mistake that they are doing that. They've cut out the stimulus measures that were in the budget because this is going to set the stage for the next year. This budget will set the stage, I think, for the next year. And if the economy improves, if things come around, that don't bode well for the Republicans. Now, in a year with a presidential election, David Dayan, this 7-day extension. Actually, let me hold that question until after the break. You can stick around for a sec.
Sure.
All right, great. You're listening to Brad Friedman of Bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy, our final night of the week. We're speaking with David Dayan of Fire Dog Lake about the potential for a government shutdown here within just the next few hours. We'll be covering it all night. Stay tuned. Yeah, there you go. Showdown in D.C. We'll be following this all night long, and we'll keep you up to date as anything important happens. If anything important happens, we got a whole bunch more for you other than the countdown to showdown in D.C. So stay tuned for all of that. But let's, for now, finish up a couple of questions I have here for my guest. Oh, this is Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. There we go. A couple of questions for my guest, David Dayan, the great David Dayan of FireDogLake.com. All right, David, you said that it looks like there's a framework for a deal, $39 billion in cuts, but they may not have time to write the bill and get it all approved and do their 72 hours posting, whatever. So they may do a quick 7-day extension just to float this thing until they can finish. Is that correct? I have that correct?
Yeah, it could be as short as a three-day extension.
Okay.
And in fact, I was just checking on Twitter. Mike Johanns, who's a senator from Nebraska, Republican, just let the cat out of the bag by putting up his press release on his statement on averting a shutdown with a 3-day extension.
Oh, really?
So clearly that's on the minds of people. But I will also say that Harry Reid's spokesman said they're still negotiating. There's no deal yet. And Reid will not take the floor to give a status update anytime soon. So this could all fall apart still. I think the framework is in place, and I actually think both sides don't really want to shut down here.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of want to get out of this and be able to both declare victory.
And,
in some way.
Right. But if they are able to get out of this mess, isn't the House supposed to go on a vacation for 2 weeks? Go at recess for 2 weeks?
Yeah, but I mean, I would suspect that in the interest of getting this done, if there is in fact a deal, uh-huh. and they do the 3-day stopgap, I would suspect they would come back on Monday, pass the bill, and then leave for 2 weeks.
I got you. Okay, in just a minute or so that we have left here, David Dayen, if the government does shut down at midnight tonight, what does that actually mean? I know the Obama administration has been loath to talk about what it will really mean so as to not scare people, I guess. But what sort of services would end as of midnight tonight if they can't reach a deal here?
Right. I think they have been talking about what it would mean. I mean, it would mean that 800,000 federal employees would be furloughed and wouldn't be able to go to work. It would mean state national parks and national museums would close. It would mean all non-essential personnel at federal agencies would be sent home. It would mean that if you were trying to get an FHA loan, you wouldn't be able to do it. If you were trying to get a Small Business Administration loan, you wouldn't be able to do it. There are a host of issues. And all of this stuff would cost money because there are contingency plans that you have to put in place in order to, you know, ramp down. Like at a construction site, you ramp down and then you ramp back up, and
right.
That costs money. So with every passing day that there's a shutdown, that actually costs the government more money in the final analysis. So it's certainly not an advisable thing, and I would argue that $40 billion, whatever it is in cuts to the budget at this time is also not advisable. So it's really kind of a Hobson's choice.
Gotcha. Are you going to be hanging around watching this thing play out tonight all night long?
Yeah, I'll be checking it out.
Right.
I mean, I think we'll have to know pretty soon if they're going to actually try to get something to pass through both houses of Congress tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a lot of time left. It won't be until the end of your show.
Okay.
Before we'll know.
All right. Well, if you hear any new news tonight, by all means, feel free to call us, and we'll break away right to you, David Dayen. David Dayen, news.firedoglake.com, and a great guy. Thanks, Dave, for your time tonight. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Good.
All right.
Bye.
Brad on Molloy. Much more ahead. We're covering the showdown in D.C. tonight as the gunslingers come out at high noon. Actually, it's high midnight tonight to decide whether the government's going to shut down entirely. Brad Friedman on the Mike Molloy Show Friday night. Friday with Friedman here. Our final night of a long week covering for Mike Molloy. We had a great time here all week long. And on Friday, of course, we're going to talk to Nicole Sandler, I think in the next hour, our friend. And I got a bunch of stuff that I want to pull together that I haven't gotten to all week long. I'm going to try to get to some of that stuff tonight and to your calls. The phone number here is 877-520-1150. If you'd like to get in on the conversation throughout the night, I'm trying to leave a whole bunch of room open for your calls if I can. Give us a call. 877-520-1150. Before we do that, and before I give you some new news, or at least the updated news on this Waukesha County debacle up there in Wisconsin, where last night, as we covered in some detail, suddenly, out of nowhere, some 7,500 votes, quote-unquote new votes, sort of, kind of, for Justice David Prosser appeared, or at least gave him the lead in what had been a lead for Joanne Kloppenburg, who had been challenging Prosser, a proxy, if you will, for Governor Scott Walker up there in Wisconsin in this entire union-stripping battle. Kloppenburg had been up by a slim 204 votes out of 1.5 million cast until the shocking news out of Waukesha that all of these votes, well, they were there all along, says Kathy Nicholas, the county clerk there, and Republican activist, and someone who has come under a lot of pressure for the last year or so. We have been following her at bradblog.com, not just last night, but we've been going back a year as she has been taken to task by county executives there, county board, for her her system, her election system, where she keeps the election results on her own PC in her office so that people can't oversee what the hell it is that she's doing. All right. So we're going to pull together a whole bunch of stuff, and I'm going to have some more words on that tonight, no doubt, on that entire situation, that entire fine mess that, frankly, is not new. We see it again and again and again, and this sort of thing is absolutely killing democracy. So I'm going to talk about that in a bit. But I wanted to hit this point, the fight in Washington, D.C. over the budget battle. It had come down to a rider to pull funding from Planned Parenthood. In other words, they were holding women's health services hostage in this deal. And as you heard in the last half hour, David Dayen tells us he believes there's a deal that for $1 billion in cuts elsewhere, the Republicans agreed to drop the Planned Parenthood rider if that deal moves forward. But earlier in the day, Senator John Kyle from Arizona, Republican from Arizona, a great big huge liar. He came out and as he was being criticized over using Planned Parenthood and women's health issues like this as a bargaining chip. He said, well, Planned Parenthood, over 90% of what Planned Parenthood does, that's a direct quote, is abortion. Well, in truth, just 3% of Planned Parenthood's work is related to abortion. In fact, contraception is a great deal more of what they do, women's health services of all types. But John Kyle, who is used to not being called on his lies, went out there and made this statement that well over 90% of what Planned Parenthood does is provide abortion services. Utter, complete nonsense. And CNN, for a change, actually called him on this statement. So I guess he's not used to being called out. So in response, let's see here, the statement that this is Don Lemon, is this? Don Lemon says on CNN, we did call his office, John Kyle, to ask what he was talking about there. And I just wanted to give you verbatim here. It says, quote, his remark was not intended to be a factual statement. So when he said that 90% of what Planned Parenthood does is abortions, he didn't really mean that. It was not, quote, not intended to be a factual statement. The spokesperson went on to say it was rather to illustrate that Planned Parenthood, an organization that receives millions of dollars in taxpayer funding, does subsidize abortions. So it was meant to illustrate that by lying about it, by saying that 90% of what it does are abortion services. Okay. John Kyle is a liar. He's a longtime liar, and I can tell you that firsthand. And he's not used to being called on this stuff by the media because the media usually gives them a pass. I, on the other hand, do not. Back in the summer of 2008, I was in Denver for the Democratic National Convention where they were nominating Barack Obama. And who should show up there outside but Senator John Kyle, Republican senator from Arizona, came to this Democrat. I'm not even sure why. I guess, you know, free media, whatever. That's what he was doing. So he was outside the Pepsi Center there where I happened to be with my own little video camera. So I was able to shoot this as he was talking, and these are some clips that are cut together as I was out there in the heat trying to get some accountability, trying to get John Kyle to tell the truth about something that he said to the gathered media scrum there. And by the way, I was the only guy amongst all of these media, and these were big-time media folks, I was the only guy pressing John Kyle for an answer to the lie, the apparent lie, anyway, that he had just told to all the gathered media there. So you're going to hear a question to him. You're going to hear his statement, which I believe is a lie, but I wanted to give him the opportunity to back it up, so you will hear me in a sequence that actually went on for about 10 or 15 minutes as I was dogging him. But it's compressed a little bit here for time. We'll play a minute or two of this just to get an idea. You'll hear John Kyle and then the guy asking him questions, trying to anyway, would be me.
Have you seen anything this week that's made you cringe?
Well, some of the statistics that Bill Clinton cited tonight made me cringe because I know they're not accurate. But
like
no,
what?
I think tonight, for example, Bill Clinton did what he needed to do and try to get the Democrats behind Barack, the Democrats who supported his wife behind Barack Obama. I still think that's going to be a tough sell. I think only Barack Obama is going to be capable, if anyone is, in trying to bring some of those pro-Clinton supporters
What
back.
Statistics were not accurate tonight from Bill Clinton, sir?
What were the inaccurate statistics that Bill Clinton cited tonight?
I'm sorry. It's hard.
Do you approve of President Bush's decision to attend the open?
What statistics was inaccurate, sir? Come on.
In the Congress, but time is running short.
Thank you,
Senator. Yeah, you're very welcome.
Senator, you said it was not.
Senator, should John McCain fire Georgian lobbyist Randy Shearman and his chief foreign policy?
Checks.
What statistics were inaccurate that Bill Clinton cited tonight, Senator?
We're a Turkish American living in Arizona.
Oh, great. How are you?
So we'd like to have a picture with you.
Well, sure.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, anybody else, sir?
So now he's taking pictures with people.
Senator, you said Bill Clinton was inaccurate in his statistics. Can you explain what those statistics were?
Just walk over here.
So what were the statistics that Bill Clinton cited that were inaccurate? You just said they were inaccurate to a bunch of folks in the media. What were the inaccurate statistics?
Sure. Just for the record.
Sorry, that's all. Allow me to talk to this lady. Yeah.
Will you follow up with me?
I'd appreciate it if you
What are the
question.
Statistics, sir?
You gentlemen are being quite rude. Would you allow this lady to
Will you answer us after
without,
you speak with
without,
to her?
Banging her head here.
Okay. We'll be happy to wait until her question is done.
Yeah, please.
Okay, yeah. So, of course, after her question was done, he was no more forthcoming in giving me an answer either to the question. So, in other words, he just went out there and lied. And he said, oh, the statistics that Bill Clinton gave were all wrong. But you had media, real media, not just me, not just bradblog.com, you know, all kinds of cameras in this scrum. None of them cared. None of them followed up. I followed up. That tape goes on. You can watch the video at bradblog.com. Just look up John Kyle, Denver, and you'll find it. It goes on for another minute or two. I followed him inside into the Pepsi Center saying, just give me an explanation what the hell it is that you're talking about, as opposed to coming out and making statements with the expectation that I'm just going to believe you. Because, frankly, that's what all the media generally do. So it was nice, in any case, that CNN bothered to follow up when you had this jackass John Kyle, Senator. I'm sorry, I'll be respectful. This Senator John Kyle from Arizona going out and, you know, saying that, well, Planned Parenthood, over 90% of what they do is fund abortions. Do you know how hard it is I'm working to keep from using bad words here tonight on the air? That's what comes of 2 hours of sleep. But this guy, all right, he's a liar, and he was finally called on it, and his office had to walk back the statement because, in truth, just 3% of what Planned Parenthood does has anything to do with abortion services. They had to walk back and say, quote, his remark was not intended to be a factual statement. Only in D.C., kids. Only in D.C. Our phone numbers are 877-529. Wait a minute. 877. See, what happened was I was up all night after the show last night working on Wisconsin, looking at the news, because that story had just broken before we went on air yesterday. And I quickly wrote a piece on that, was working on it last night after the show to see all the new stuff that had come in. I was up till, I don't know, it was 3, 4, 5 a.m., frankly, before I got to sleep this morning. And who should call like 2 hours later? Stephanie Miller, her people. that her producer called. Can you come on the air, Brad? Well, I've only been asleep for 2 hours, but I have been broadcasting out of your studio all week, so the least I can do, yeah, is wake up, jam some intravenous coffee into my veins and try to wake up and talk to you about this Wisconsin story. So I did, but I never went back to sleep. So I'm running on fumes. So, oh, well, get used to it. Okay, when we come back, your calls, 877-520-1150. And, you can get into this show because I'm going to leave this time open for you. And then I'll come back and make some more noise about Wisconsin, I suspect, in the next hour with our good friend Nicole Sandler. Oh, we love Nicole. And we love you too, Stephanie. Thanks for calling. Anytime. Always good to hear from you. And thanks for letting us stink up your studio. You're listening to Brad Friedman right here on the Friday Night Mike Malloy Show. Stay tuned. Much more ahead. Careful, you just may learn something before the Mike Malloy Show is done here tonight. Brad Friedman, bradblog.com, in for Mike. Going to get to your calls here, 877-520-1150. Coming up later, we will have Nicole Sandler, the great Nicole Sandler. Some of you folks may know her. She sits in for Randy Rhodes, and she has her own radio show every day, radioornot.com, every morning. I don't know. It's too early for me to wake up and hear it. Our friend last night, John Washburn, election integrity advocate from Wisconsin, who we had him on the show for about an hour and a half last night. He's the real deal. He's an award-winning open records request guy. Not one of these. He is a Republican, or at least a Ron Paul Republican, and he actually voted for David Prosser. But he's the real deal. He's not one of these fake John Fund voter fraud fools. He's actually a guy who's concerned about election integrity in elections. And he had a quick thought on Wisconsin and what may lie ahead in this potential recount, if it's still on. Let's find out. Hey, John, welcome back to the show. Appreciate your calling in with a late update. What do you have for us tonight?
Well, if there's a recount, one of the provisions that's in Wisconsin state statute, do you want the statute citation?
No, I believe you, because we're short on time.
Yeah, okay.
But you give it. If you have it handy, go ahead, give it so people can look it up.
It's Wisconsin statute 5.095.
Okay.
And what it provides is that all of the systems that are certified for use in the state have to be escrowed with the state. And anyone who is part of a recount, mm-hmm. you know, a challenger or the challenged party,
right.
can demand that that software be pulled out of escrow for examination by them or their experts. So that might be another event that happens as part of a recount.
And that could be very good news, because the source code is kept private, it's kept secret, and just one of the problems with these elections were machine, and so people know, most of the ballots cast in Wisconsin were on paper ballots, were hand-marked paper yeah. ballots, but they're still counted by computers, and nobody actually bothers to verify if the computer count is actually accurate, because the companies say it's proprietary software, and we're not allowed to look at the source code. So
Well, the examiners would still be covered by very strict NDAs, non-disclosure agreements.
Right.
But because Wisconsin's municipal-based, mm-hmm. everything but Harding or Civic would be possibly under examination. Populex,
Diebold,
Sequoia's Insight,
right.
their edges, mm-hmm. their advantages.
Good. Everything. Well, they can perform
diversity.
Well, this would be an important service alone for the country if they move forward with a recount, whether it's a hand count or otherwise, and it damn well better be a hand count if they bother to count at this point. And who knows if they will bother to count at this point. I will have some words on that later. Very quickly, John Washburn, there's some talk in the bradblog.com chat room about this excuse that Kathy Nicholas gave. You discussed it a little bit last night, that she didn't save these numbers in the Access, Microsoft Access database. She forgot to hit the save button after hitting it all night.
And also probably autosave was disabled. That has to also be in play here because all the Word products in general have autosave until you turn them off.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Why would she turn off autosave? Because normally these things are saved automatically, right? You don't, in Access in any case, you don't have to hit save, do you?
All of the Microsoft Word product or Office products have autosave unless you turn it off. But you can program it that way, so that's another reason to say, well, let me see this Access program.
Do you have any more confidence in what she reported today than you did last night, John Washburn, when we talked about this?
I still think one of the quotes I heard that is probably most applicable, it's probably not fraud, it's just Kathy. That's how someone put it.
Well, yeah.
The other past issues.
Right. But what it is not is it is not overseeable. It is not transparent. And I have reason to believe tonight that these numbers are, if not legitimate, these numbers actually were the numbers from election night. Again, they weren't, you know, counted by human beings, but that they existed on election night as she reported them yesterday.
Yes, they did, because a community newspaper called the Brookfield Patch had the Brookfield numbers.
Exactly, and I'm going to cover that later. I'm going to cover that later in the show, John. I have to get out for a break here. I'm sorry. But yes.
Oh, no problem. I just wanted to bring up the examination question.
Yeah, very good, and good to know. We're going to keep our eyes on that. Thanks for the update. John Washburn of Fair Elections, Wisconsin. All right, coming back. More of your calls, and soon, I think. Nicole Sandler. You're listening to Brad Friedman on the Mike Malloy Program. You know, Rep. Jack Kimball, Republican from California's 54th District, who I had on last Friday on April 1, he just tweeted that since he was on the Mike Malloy show with the Brad blog promoting H.R. 929, my office has gotten dozens of calls of support. So there you go. As Rep. Jack Kimball on the Twitters, Republican from California's 54th. Look it up. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow drafted into duty once again for Mike Malloy, who will be returning Monday. Set your calendars or your clocks or your schedules or whatever. They're coming back. You only got me for a few more hours, broadcasting live from the left coast here at the beautiful studios of K-Talk AM 1150. Glad you could join us here. Coming up momentarily, we will be joined by Nicole Sandler of RadioOrNot.com. You may know her as the guest host for the regular guest host for Randy Rhodes. We're also keeping our eye on the deal. No deal yet. But there may be a deal to avoid government shutdown by the time the show closes tonight. Midnight Eastern time tonight, Friday night, the government will shut down unless they come up with a deal. There is said to be a framework for a deal, as we discussed in the first hour, $39 billion in planned cuts. They got the Planned Parenthood rider out of there. So it should move forward, perhaps with a 3-day extension just to do the bookkeeping first. But, well, we'll see. We're keeping our eyes on that. So we're going to go to Nicole in a bit, and we'll take your calls with Nicole. It'll be Hanging with the Guest Hosts. Guest Hosts Unite, 877-520-1150. And in this hour or maybe the next, maybe both, I will have a few more words about the Wisconsin Supreme debacle. All right, let's get to some quick calls here. Chuck in Burnsville, Minnesota. Hey, Chuck, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. What's on your mind?
Hi, Brad.
Hey.
I feel like an old Catholic waiting for the white smoke. Is there going to be an agreement? Will they signal from the Smithsonian? What's going on?
Right.
My only question is, why would any woman or any minority want to be a Republican? They're voting against women. They voted against women repeatedly. I don't understand why women be Republican.
They vote against women. They vote against citizens. They vote against freedom. They vote in favor of a big, big government. They vote against the Constitution. They vote for all the things they act like they give a damn about, or against all the things they act like they give a damn about. Yeah, I have no idea why anybody would be a Republican. And that's coming from somebody who ain't a Democrat and who ain't happy with the Democrats either. They may be cowards, but they're not... these insidious evil liars like we're seeing in the Republican Party that's been just taken over by these cretins. Chuck, I appreciate the call, sir. Keep an eye out for that smoke, although let's hope it doesn't come out over Fukushima Daiichi. Thanks, brother. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Let's get to Carlos in, where is he? Fort Bragg. Carlos in Fort Bragg. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Carlos, what's on your mind, sir?
I don't know. I've been listening to a lot of the left talk radio, and I used to be a Democrat.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Here we go.
No. Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
I'm not a Republican.
That's all right.
You know, I just decided I want to be more independent.
Good.
And here's the thing. I was overseas, and I was injured. And I'm here with a lot of other injured soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And a program that they have here at Fort Bragg. And I talked to a lot of the cadre. These are the people who are actually paid to, you know, come out and make sure that we're still soldiers, that we're still doing what we're supposed to do. And they're, like, some of them are reserves, some of them are National Guard, because, of course, most of the active duty military is tied up in, you know, a couple of wars that we have going on.
Okay.
I personally, I was in as a soldier at active duty. I got out reserves because I have children and I wanted to be there for my boys to show them. You know, I'm a black guy. I wanted to teach them about manhood.
All right, we're short on time here tonight. Can we get to your question or your comment?
My comment is I basically blame the Republicans because I just think it's totally stupid. I don't believe that they should be using the military in any way to promote any types of agenda. We fight for our government. We'll fight for Republican, Democrat. There's never been a time where we wouldn't fight, and we shouldn't be used as pawns. That's all I want to say.
Yeah, well, they did not step forward, did they, in the House to say, oh, you know what, here is a bill that will extend military pay to the troops overseas. Has nothing else in it, has no crap, no bargaining chips, just says we're going to continue to pay the troops. No, they didn't bother to do that, did they?
Well, I guess Planned Parenthood is just too important.
That's right.
But,
yeah, you're right.
For them to, but I really appreciate your time. I'm sorry I kind of got off on the tangent.
No, that's okay. Listen, Carlos, I appreciate both your service to this country and your call tonight. Thank you, sir. I really do appreciate it, my friend.
Thank you. You have a good one.
All right, take care, brother. Let's go to Bruce in 877-520-1150. If you have questions for Nicole Sandler, she's going to hang around and hopefully take some calls with you, too. So, it'll, like I said, guest host unite. Bruce in Santa Paula, California. What's on your mind, Bruce?
I just wanted to give you some information. I write Access databases, so I'm intimately familiar with them.
Good.
And most people don't, you know, they imagine like a Word document or an Excel spreadsheet where you want to save the entire document at one time. Access doesn't work that way. There are, I'll try to be as non-technical as I can, but basically there are two major structures that are used. One is called the table, and that's where the data is stored.
Right.
And then you have a form, which is where you act, where you interact with the data. You
right.
pull up, you know, a guy's record or whatever. So imagine you got a database that has name, address, and phone. It has three fields on it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When you update the name, and you as soon as you jump from that field to the address field,
mm-hmm.
That data is updated. It's updated in the table. In other words, you don't have to do anything. That data is already stored in the table.
Now, that was my understanding as well,
yeah.
But can you turn off the setting for saving?
No, you can't turn that off.
Because you're writing directly to the table.
You're writing directly to the table through the form, exactly.
Okay, Bruce, did you hear Kathy Nicholas's explanation of why those numbers were not saved?
I tell you, if you can point me to it, I'd be glad to review it and get back to you, but I haven't seen it. If you can tell me where to find it.
You can go. We have the video of her press conference at bradblog.com. If you go to bradblog.com and on the right side of the page, you'll see a big red headline that basically says 75,000 votes suddenly found in Wisconsin. If you look at that, it's kind of a detailed, long article, but if you scroll to the bottom, there's a copy of her press conference from last night.
If you don't mind, I'll look at it and call you back.
Okay.
I just want you to know that it isn't something that requires an autosave because it isn't a document.
That was kind of my understanding as well. I do appreciate
it. It is a document.
Yep.
So.
Thanks, Bruce.
All right, I'll call you back.
All right, I appreciate it, brother. All right, 877-520-1150. Let me get to, where are we here? Brian in Sacramento. And by the way, anything you want to talk about tonight, bring it on. I got stuff I'm going to talk about, but I'd also love to hear from you as well. 877-520-1150. Okay, Brian from Sacramento. Welcome, sir, to the Mike Malloy Show. What is on your mind tonight?
Hey, buddy, Brad. I just want to say I love your show, love your style, and I really enjoy everything you do.
You're very kind. Thank you, sir.
And also, check it. Following from what that guy just said, and if that is true, then wouldn't it be tampering? She would have to be tampering
mm-hmm.
with the result. Is that correct?
Well, no. What she would have to be doing is lying about what actually happened or misunderstanding about what actually happened, if you take her at her word. I mean, what she has basically said was, oh, we had the numbers in there, but I forgot to hit save before I printed and gave it out to the media. That's essentially her excuse.
So if that's proven to be not true, mm-hmm. then how damn it, does that get treated as like a voter fraud thing? And then it turns like there's protocol for something when you think that there is like voter fraud, right?
Okay, well, let me be clear here because you used a word that is going to touch me off, voter fraud. The voters are doing fine. This is not voter fraud as far as we know in any way, shape, or form. The voters are doing fine. Leave them alone. It could, however, that's all right, but it's an important distinction for reasons I can go into later, actually, maybe with Nicole when I got her here. Anyway, it's election fraud if it is fraud. In other words, if she is lying as an administrator of an election, and by the way, she has the power, as almost any election insider does, to completely flip an election with very little possibility of detection in just a few keystrokes. Because even though we have paper ballots, they run them through scanners, and the scanners can be misprogrammed. They're easily, you know, they fail all the time. They can be hacked on purpose. If nobody bothers to count the paper ballots, then, you know, somebody can, you know, like Kathy Nicholas, a Republican activist, can sit down and type any number she wants into that spreadsheet and say that's the result, and nobody will bother to check it. So, yeah. And this is what I've been yelling about for a whole bunch of years. Maybe people are starting to notice.
Right. Now, before I go, real quickly, I was fascinated by the story about the Chamber of Commerce thing up against you the other day.
Oh, yeah.
I could have swore I heard Rachel talk about that. I almost think I heard Rachel mention that. Do you know if she did or didn't?
I think she did. I do think, if I'm remembering correctly now, I believe she did cover it at least on one night. Yeah, it's a very serious, amazing
very serious.
Story. Yeah.
Because she was included, just like you.
Was she? Actually, you might be confused. She was included in one of those email FOIA requests, the Freedom of Information Act requests. Listen, John, I got to get to a break. I do appreciate your listening and calling here tonight. 877-520-1150. I got to get to a break. Nicole Sandler coming up next right here on The Mike Malloy Show.
I guess you could say she was a sex fiend.
What? You took it out already, Tony? What happened?
I know the song well.
You do. I bet you do. You know the rest of it, too.
I was Nikki as a kid.
Yeah,
my
really?
I am known as Nikki to everyone who I've known since my college days and before.
Darling Nikki, Nicole Sandler joins us here on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm hearing a bit of an echo, but I'll survive it. I don't know if there's anything you can do about a tone. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy. Joined by my good pal, Darling Nikki, live from Florida. Hey, Nicole, how are you tonight?
I'm good. Are you? Thanks. And you, Brad? I hear you're a little sleep deprived.
I am. No sleep at all. But we cheered you up with that song, right? Because I know you're...
It gave me a good laugh.
There you go. Because I know you're not happy tonight for reason. And by the way, folks, if you're on the line, there's some great questions that I definitely want to get to. Don't hang up. I'll get to them, and Nicole will stick around and help me answer calls because she's the professional at this. You may have heard her on Randy Rhodes filling in for Randy, and of course on RadioOrNot.com very, very early each morning. So I don't even know what time it's on.
Yeah,
what is
but
it?
It's not early on the East Coast. No. It's 10 to noon Eastern, but that's very early on the West Coast, 7 to 9 Pacific.
That's insane, 7 to 9.
I know.
Although I did wake up for Stephanie Miller this morning.
I was going to say, you don't wake up for my show, but it's okay.
Well, you know, the truth, because I felt bad. I've been using her studio all week, but if you call me in the morning, just don't give me any choice but to wake up. And
Do you have one of those old-fashioned answering machines where you can screen the calls and it doesn't just go to voicemail?
No, but I had a funnier answer for your old-fashioned answering machine, but I don't want to insult Desi, so I'm just going to set that aside.
good idea.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yes.
All right, well... I have a question for you before we get to the... Well, a couple of things. Yeah. You've got... you lost your house?
Yeah. Well, yes, I did. It was sold today in a short sale. Can I tell you... I've owned... This was my sixth, maybe seventh home. I'm old. But I moved around a lot. You know,
I'm
in radio.
She's not that old. All right. Go ahead.
I've owned homes since the early 90s when I lived in L.A. All my homes were in...
Right.
So this house, though, when I moved back to Florida, my father had passed away. And he lived in this house. Basically, I bought my sister out of her share of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right at the, 2006, 2007, right at the height of the market.
Mm-hmm.
So when I bought her out of it, the house appraised for $385,000.
Mm.
The bank today took $120,000 for the house that I owed $265,000 on.
You owed $265,000. They took $125,000?
Yes. They took 120.
120.
But I owed 265 on it. It appraised for 385 when I bought it. So, I had over $100,000 in the house. So, I don't care about the house. I'm glad to be out from under it. But I do mourn for that $100,000 to $150,000 that, that's gone.
Yep.
Poof.
Yep.
Banksters have it. Poof. Gone.
Yep. And now, were you not able to? There was that terrible. What was that terrible program that they put together?
HAMP. You see, the thing is, I have been,
Some people know this was put together as part of the stimulus bill. I think theoretically to help people like you who are underwater in their houses.
Home affordable mortgage modification program.
Right.
And actually, David Dayan, who was on with you in the last hour from Fire Dog Lake, did an amazing series on the HAMP program and what a huge failure it was. By the way. The House just, I believe, last week just voted to defund it, to kill it. And as bad as it was, they could have, tried to make it work. But instead, they took the money away from it.
Yep.
But no, I didn't go through that because here's the issue. When Air America went under in January of 2010, that was my last steady paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
Now, thanks to Randy Rhodes, I get fill-in work for her. And thanks to the wonderful people who donate to my program at RadioOrNot.com. I make some money there. And I do some voiceover work, commercials, narration things.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually voice track for a radio station in Des Moines. I mean, I do a lot of odd jobs, but I don't have a regular income. I don't have a steady job.
Is that you?
Is that
Nicole?
Is that
Nicole playing music in the middle of?
No, you know,
Nicole,
what
this is not your radio show. You can't just start playing things in the middle of a story.
I thought you were playing
what
something for me to like narrate to. You know what? That's an ad that popped up on the Brad blog chat window.
Oh, I see.
that wasn't my fault.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Well, now you can't tell the story at all because we got to get to a break. You can tell it on the other side of this break. Nicole Sandler completely screwing up the Mike Malloy show, hosted, guest hosted by me, Brad Friedman, blaming the chat. Much more, Nicole, and your calls straight ahead. Stay with us.
You're going to love this. Just love it.
Yes, I do. No, it ain't. I'm just scared in case I fall off my chair. Not scared unless Nicole screws it up again. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Stuck in the middle with you. No place I would rather be on a Friday night. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy, who will return next Monday. Wake the neighbors. Tell the kids he'll be back. Mike and Kathy will be back after their spring break, a much-deserved spring break. And I'm sure you're looking forward to their return as much as I am. But until then, it is Guest Hosts Unite tonight here on The Mike Malloy Show, as I, Brad Friedman, am joined by Nicole Sandler of Radio or Not, the regular guest fill-in for Randy Rhodes. And I guess we should have called Hal Sparks tonight, too.
Yeah, that would have worked. Yeah. We could have done that.
Then we could have, because I was trying to think between Hal, who sits in for Stephanie, and you for Randy, and me for Mike, that we should have like a softball league, but we need about six more people and any other teams.
Right. Yeah. I know. Yeah.
Could call Sirota. Sirota was sitting
Sirota's
in for
been
Hartman.
In for Hartman,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. All week, this week, actually. I'll be on Hartman. I'll go ahead and plug. I'll be on Hartman, both his radio and his TV show next week. That's
really?
On Monday, yeah.
Talking Wisconsin voting
Talking
stuff?
Wisconsin voting, yes. And
I just say, I've gotten to this point where I don't understand what is going on. These people live in this alternate universe.
Right.
I call it opposite world.
Right.
I mean, I'm sorry. This woman just mysteriously finds 7,500 votes, just enough so that, what, it's over the threshold for a recount?
Just barely over the threshold for a state-paid recount. She can still have a recount, but now she'll have to pay for it if these numbers hold as they are. And as I understand, at this hour, I believe there's seven more counties remaining to complete their canvass. And once they finish their canvass, Joanne Kloppenburg will have 3 days to request a hand count or a recount in any case. Whether she gets a hand count, she'll have to go to court to do that. And I'm going to talk about that by all means in the next hour. But I did, you know, I wanted to say, and I want to try to get to some of these calls with you, if you don't mind hanging with me here and taking some calls.
I would love to.
Because one of the things about Nicole is I've gotten to know you. We've only met once in person, right?
I know. Yeah. Well, for over the course of a few days.
Over the
course,
right?
We've gotten to know each other pretty well.
Met you in a hotel lobby.
Yes.
We
got to hang at Netroots Nation last summer.
Yep.
Right.
That's right.
Yes,
but
we had a great. You taught me the fine art of pie gow.
That's right.
Poker.
That's right. But in all of these years, I've been on your show many times talking about election integrity issues, and I tell people that yours is one of my favorite shows to go on because you know this issue. Living in Florida, you do your homework on this stuff. You know the importance of election transparency, and I'm going to have a word about that in the next hour. We'll call it special comment. There you go.
Very good. Nice and original.
Yeah.
Well, I know you had Ian Sancho on last night, and he's a hero, and not enough people know about him.
Yeah.
I wish he'd run for governor. He's the supervisor of elections in Leon County, Florida, which encompasses Tallahassee. You would think that the people in the Florida legislature might get some smarts from him, but I guess it doesn't rub off.
Oh, well, no, apparently not, because you guys have, this was a couple of nights ago we had him, actually. Mm-hmm. I was talking about this new monster bill that's going through Florida just in time for 2012 again. It's going to make it harder for you people to vote. They want to cut early voting in half out there. But the thing is, you know, as you know, Nicole Sandler, I talk about these issues, election integrity, democracy, all the time, not just before the election, when it's too late to do anything about it. And, you know, I think people forget about it when the elections go away, and then this crap hits us like we saw in Washington, in Wisconsin, because people are not paying attention. They're not fighting the fight. All of the other issues in the world don't matter if you can't get your democracy straight. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
And
It's frustrating.
Yeah, but that's why. So I'm going to try to talk in the next hour a little bit about this and to let everybody know, hey, tag, you're it. Now is the time to get things straightened out, to start the fight in your local community, you know, to get transparent elections in every damn city, county, state in this country and return democracy to the U.S. if we ever actually had it. But I've got some callers on the line who had some questions about election issues.
Cool.
So you want to see if we can what we can do with those? All right. Here's one that I really want to get to. So I'm glad John in Louisiana. Thank you, sir, for holding. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show with myself and Nicole Sandler. What's on your mind, John?
Hello, Brad and Nicole. Florida's a criminal state. They'll never straighten that place out. Okay. Yeah, I grew up there. So, yes, I have a question, and Nicole tells me that you're an expert on this. I used to be a programmer.
Yeah.
Why can't we have electronic ballots that are so secure? I mean, my banking is secure. I can trade stocks online. That's secure. I get automatic deposits. That's secure. I file my federal income tax electronically. That's secure.
How do you know? Okay,
but
let me.
Here we are stuck with 1920s. Paper ballots, because that's
we'd be better off if they were all paper ballots.
Yeah, John.
Yeah, maybe you can tell me why.
I can't. Well, first off, how do you know? You said you buy stocks online securely and use your bank securely. How do you know?
Well, because my balances are always correct. That's not to say someone's not watching it.
So
there's not a transparent group looking in, but they haven't tampered with it.
Okay, John. So you're able to go back and check it, so you know they haven't tampered with it, right?
That's right.
And,
that's correct.
And they're able to look at it, and if there's any questions, everybody, it's a transparent process, right?
That's totally transparent.
Okay. Voting is different. And why is that, Nicole? See how well we have you educated here. Why is voting different, Nicole?
Because there's no way to check to make sure that the information is correct. There is no way, especially with these touchscreen machines, where there's no way to check to make sure that the vote you cast is the vote that it's reporting. And there's no way to make sure that all the votes that were cast are being interpreted correctly. There is no process in many places for a recount, or there's no paper trail in many places.
Well, because we have, John, a secret ballot in this country, as well we should. So after you cast your vote, it goes away, essentially. You can never find it again. You can never know if it was recorded accurately. And as a matter of fact, even if you could know that your vote was recorded accurately, you can't know that all of the votes were recorded accurately. And that's the
problem. Okay, now I can understand why we need to go to a straight count paper ballot until we get the criminals out of control of the system. I understand that. But if we have an internet, if I have a social security number or a code that is mine to use, just like I had when I filed my taxes, on an internet, not on a standalone machine that can be tampered with, but on the World Wide Web.
where it can't be tampered with? Are you kidding, John? A standalone machine can be tampered with, but not on the World Wide Web? It can't be tampered with there? John, really? Is that what you mean to ask?
My cryptogram beats your efforts to screw with it. Okay,
all right.
What I believe should be.
Okay, I understand, and I'll answer that off the air, John. Thanks for the call. I do appreciate that. The fact of the matter.
Can I get one more question in?
All right, well, then hang on here. Let me give you a quick answer. If you're able to see that your vote, if you're told by some computer somewhere that your vote was counted as you cast it, That's great. But we don't know that it actually was. In other words, I can give you an answer by my computer that tells you how you voted, but that doesn't mean all of the results are actually based on that. It's a little bit more complicated than that. But the fact is, for elections, you need transparency. And I need to know not just how I voted, but I need to know how everyone voted and that those votes are verifiable and recorded accurately. Got
okay,
it.
Now, then let me take it one more step.
All right, quick,
if
John. I got to get to another.
I do a quick printout of all the votes in a particular precinct, in a particular state or in the nation, and I match up my code that was assigned to me to how my vote was cast, and that's, I can do a printout of everything that was done that can be manually tallied if it has to, then what is insecure about that?
You can't do everybody's vote and compare all of those results against the results that were reported. You can only check on yours under your scheme. Does that make sense?
No. If I publish the whole list of all, if it's published, the whole list.
How do you know if my vote, John,
can't be published?
John, how do you know if my vote is recorded as I wanted it to be?
Well, then it's your job to go look at the tally on your alphabetized code to see that your tallies are correct.
John, I'll speak to it, I'd love to, frankly, speak to you the whole hour about it, but I really can't because I got a lot of people.
I
can tell that you do, John. All right, I'll get to your call after we go off air. Thanks for the call. Thanks, John. The fact of the matter is, I can only check my own vote under the scheme you're talking about. I can't check Nicole's to make sure that it was cast accurately.
And you know what? Even in places like here in Florida,
where
we have now a paper trail. We got rid of the touch screen machines. We got rid of the hanging chads.
You have a paper ballot, is what you have.
Right, exactly. Yeah. We have the optical scan, so you fill in the little bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
It goes through the machine. Once it does, it doesn't even bother to tell you on the screen how it read your ballot.
That
would have any indication, because just because it says it on the screen doesn't mean that that's what registers on the actual card.
Right.
On the card, or how the card reader reads the card.
Correct.
But beyond that, you would think, okay, but in Florida, anyway, there is that paper ballot, so you can go back and have the recount afterwards if there's anything that seems a little off. Except the Florida legislature, in all of its brilliance, didn't bother to, you know, they made it so that there is no mechanism to have a hand recount. You're not allowed to.
Illegal, that's right. You're not allowed to count a ballot by hand in the state of Florida.
State of Florida.
Right.
Yeah. So much for those paper ballots we now have.
Right. I know. It's absolutely insane. And we have paper ballots. That's part of the step. Now count the damn ballots.
Yeah.
Why do I have to keep saying that? But you're doing your audition here tonight to take over bradblog.com is going very well. Thank
you've
you,
taught
Nicole.
Me well. Thank
you're,
you.
You're doing very well. Mike in Westminster, South Carolina. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show with Nicole Sandler and me. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Brad, Nicole. Good to talk to you. How's everything going?
It's going all right. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I'm listening to the other caller here, and I've been in the computer business for a long time, and I know there's just no chance that you can do this. The only way to do this is with a hand-counted paper ballot, and you count them by hand, and you can recount them by hand if you need to. But
Mike, I'm firing Nicole from taking over the Brad blog.
You got it.
You got the job, Mike. All right.
What I'm going to say is this whole thing, though, I worked really hard with the Democratic Party up through 2006, 2008, and you finally reach a point now where you realize it's all kabuki theater. I mean, they could have done something about these voting machines if they'd wanted to when they had control of the House and the Senate and the presidency. And this whole thing about the standoff about, you know, shutting down the government, this is ridiculous. I mean, if they want another $1 billion cut, all Obama has to do is say, sure, I'll just pull 1,000 people out of Iraq or 1,000 out of Afghanistan. That'll give you your billion this year.
Thanks,
you
know? Mike. I appreciate it. I got to get to a break here. I appreciate the call, and you're absolutely right.
Brother circuses.
All right. Take care, brother. Any thoughts on that, Nicole, before we go around and come back?
No, because I just noticed it looks like the Congress is going to pass another four-day continuing resolution.
Not 3 day, but 4 day instead?
That's what it looks like, 4 day. That's the last thing I'm seeing.
That is what David Dayen had said earlier. That uh-huh. was what they were talking about. Is this now confirmed as you're finding
it? Well, Ali Velshi just tweeted, so consider the source. Shutdown averted, continuing resolution until Thursday to be voted on tonight.
Well, it looks like Fox News is now reporting that, too. So if reports that a deal has been reached to avoid the government shutdown, and if it comes from Fox News, Nicole.
Then it's got to be not necessarily a factual statement.
That's putting it kindly. You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show. I'm Brad Friedman, in with my pal, Nicole Sandler. I'm on the left coast. She's on the right-ish coast down there in Florida. Mm. More of your call straight ahead, 877-520-1150. Stay with us.
Are we rolling downhill like snowball headed for hell? With no kind of chance.
Welcome back to Friday Night on the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike, who will return next week. I'm here with Nicole Sandler and some breaking news as we keep our eyes, where are we, an hour and 7 minutes away at this point, live Friday night from a federal government shutdown. There is breaking news, however, and it's John Boehner is stepping to, are we able to get this tone? John Boehner stepping to the microphone. We're going to jump to this here real quick.
I'm pleased that Senator Reid and I and the White House have been able to come to an agreement that will, in fact, cut spending and keep our government open. And I expect that the House will vote tonight on a short-term continuing resolution into next week to allow for time for this agreement to be put together in a legislative form. And brought to the floor of the House and Senate for a vote. And so I would expect the final vote on this to occur mid-next week. But I do believe that we'll have a what we'll call a bridge continuing resolution passed tonight to ensure that government's open. As you all know, this has been a lot of discussion and a long fight. But we fought to keep government spending down because it really will, in fact, help create a better environment for job creators.
Yeah, sure. Well,
thank you.
All right. Yeah. All right. Well, that was John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, saying that they have cut a deal and that a deal that will cut spending on the budget bill for the remainder of 2011. It will keep the government open. They're going to have a short term continuing resolution. Just long enough, essentially, to get the paperwork done so that they can vote on this full agreement. They're calling it a bridge continuing resolution. But they say they have a deal and they have averted a government shutdown with just a little over an hour left before the federal government would come to a close. And, of course, all apocalypse would come upon us. Nicole, sorry about that. You got preempted
okay.
for a minute. Listen, I want to get to, because I know this is something that's important to you. You've been working on it on the 99ers. We've just got a few minutes left, thanks to Boehner. Give us an idea very quickly the effort that you're putting into this and exactly explain exactly what it is, if you can.
I'm not really doing much. I built a website.
Oh, well, then never mind.
Yeah. Right. The website's helpthe99ers.com. And basically, it's just a big message board where people in need can post their stories, and hopefully people who have some resources where they can help and have the compassion to do so will go there and find people who they can help. And that does happen there. In fact, someone just posted a heartbreaking story last night or 2 days ago and went back to thank the people who helped him, and he updated his situation.
Explain the 99ers are, though, to our listeners who don't know.
The 99ers are people who are the long-term unemployed, the chronic unemployed, who are unable to find work and have exhausted all of their unemployment benefits. In some states, like Michigan now, it's, I believe, 20 weeks. They just lowered it from 26 to 20 weeks of unemployment compensation. The maximum anybody gets anywhere is 99. If you're a 99er, it doesn't mean you've had 99 weeks of unemployment. Here in Florida, it's 26 weeks. That's the maximum.
And I suspect there'll be nothing in this budget deal for the 99ers either, because they have
done absolutely nothing.
And
in fact, it probably takes some away from them because of their the Republicans' cut mentality.
Yep. It sure does. Help the 99ers. That's the number, 99ERS, right? Help the 99ers.com. Nicole Sandler of RadioOrNot.com. Listen to her every morning, every weekday, well, Monday through Thursday.
Right.
10 to noon East Coast time. Did I get it right?
That's it. 10 to noon Eastern.
Nicole, great hanging with you. I hope we get to see you soon.
Me too. Thank you, Brad.
You're awesome. Nicole Sandler, everybody. Thanks a bunch. Have a great night and a great weekend.
You too. Thanks for having me.
You betcha. Okay. All right. If you're on the line, hang on. I'm going to try to get to all the calls, and then we'll call it a special comment of sorts about democracy coming up right here on The Mike Malloy Show. President Obama is now addressing the nation. A budget deal has been reached. Let's pick this up.
Education and student loans, and clean energy and life-saving medical research. We protected the investments we need to win the future. At the same time, we also made sure that at the end of the day, this was a debate about spending cuts, not social issues like women's health and the protection of our air and water. These are important issues that deserve discussion. Just not during a debate about our budget. I want to thank Speaker Boehner and Senator Reid for their leadership and their dedication during this process. A few months ago, I was able to sign a tax cut for American families because both parties worked through their differences and found common ground. Now the same cooperation will make possible the biggest annual spending cut in history. And it's my sincere hope that we can continue to come together as we face the many difficult challenges that lie ahead. From creating jobs and growing our economy to educating our children and reducing our deficit. That's what the American people expect us to do. That's why they sent us here. A few days ago, I received a letter from a mother in Longmont, Colorado. Over the year, her son's eighth grade class saved up money and worked on projects so that next week they could take a class trip to Washington, D.C. They even have an appointment to lay a wreath on the tomb of the unknown soldier. The mother wrote that for the last few days, the kids in her son's class had been worried and upset that they might have to cancel their trip because of a shutdown. She asked those of us in Washington to get past our petty grievances and make things right. And she said, "Remember, the future of this country is not for us. It's for our children. Today, we acted on behalf of our children's future. And next week, when 58th graders from Colorado arrive in our nation's capital, I hope they get a chance to look up at the Washington Monument and feel the sense of pride and possibility that defines America, a land of many that has always found a way to move forward as one. Thank you."
That was President Barack Obama addressing the nation with the news that a budget deal has been reached. We are here at Friday night, 8 minutes after the hour, live about 52 minutes away from what would have been a shutdown of the U.S. federal government. But the president said that a budget deal has been reached with leaders of both parties. Americans will get their paychecks on time. Folks in the U.S. military will get their paychecks on time. He did not go into great detail other than to say that these are the largest annual spending cuts in our nation's history and that some of the cuts will be painful. And yet, he says, we protected investments needed to win the future. which, as you know, he's been saying a lot lately. The cuts that were being held hostage, frankly, by the Republicans to Planned Parenthood and to gut the EPA were averted in this deal, whatever this deal is. And I believe they'll be extending, they'll have a continuing resolution which will extend things for 4 days, 3 or 4 days, I'm not sure. Was it 5, 7? Well, okay, we missed that. We're not sure. But a number of days until they can sort of do the paperwork, write up this bill, and then get it passed quickly in both houses of Congress. That's the news. That's the breaking news. We averted a shutdown before we went off the air this week. Good. You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show. I am Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen blogger, investigative journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and apparently news anchor this evening here on The Mike Malloy Show. That's good news. All right, moving on now after, I guess it's good news. It's good news that the government isn't shutting down. It's good news that Desi Doyen, our producer here tonight, gets to go to the National Park in a week or two, as she had planned. All right, we're going to get to your calls, more of your calls in a minute, and we'll have a special, well, I don't want to call it a special comment, but a word or two about what's going on in Wisconsin, some news, some updates from this remarkable debacle that has occurred in the Wisconsin Supreme Court race that we talked about at great length and in great detail yesterday. Some new news today, tonight. I'll get to that and a few of my own thoughts along with it. And your calls at 877-520-1150. Caller in the last hour had asked about internet voting and why we can't do that. And I went through the reasons why that would be absolutely insane. One reason that I didn't mention is that the computer security experts have said we cannot do it. The best computer cybersecurity experts in the nation, in the world, frankly, have said it is not safe. And if you don't believe me, you can go to bradblog.com, type in DC Internet Vote Hack, and find out what happened last November when they tried to do that in the city of Washington, D.C., to use military and overseas voters. They were going to have them do a live internet election, decided to open it up to a test, a hack test, just days before the election, and that entire system was taken down within minutes, taken down and taken over by white hat hackers in this case. But while those white hat hackers were in the system, they also saw Iranian and Chinese computers trying to do the same thing as well. A couple of years ago, I met with some folks from Estonia who were sort of doing a dog and pony show around the country trying to push this internet voting that they are doing out there. And they were bringing they had a hacker along with them who was, you know, telling people how secure the system is and everything else. And I pulled the hacker aside and I said, this is a lie, isn't it? You can hack this system in a second, can't you? And he said, yep, I sure can. All right. My thoughts on Wisconsin in a moment, but I know a lot of you have been hanging on a long time. So let me try to hit some of these calls. Ellen in Nashville, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Ellen.
Well, thank you, Brad. I enjoy the show when you fill in very much.
You're very kind.
Brad, I was going to make a big pronouncement, but I was going to ask your wonderful listeners to maybe if they have a chance to Google four words, and they are Obama pledges entitlement reform. And this makes my case, I feel, because this article will come up from the Washington Post editorial board, and it also has a tape, the audio of Obama mm-hmm. being interviewed on January 16th, 2009. That's about 5 days before his inauguration.
Right.
And if they would just read this, Obama pledges entitlement reform, they will see it leads off saying he pledges to shape a new bargain, quote unquote, not grand bargain. That's usually what they say. I don't know why that was left out. But with American people, you know, yada yada yada.
What was the pledge for, Alan? To do what? To reform them?
Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid.
To improve them?
The whole article. Well, he'll say reform and mm-hmm. cut back entitlements. See, the words entitlements used.
So why do you? And why is it that you want to point us to this? What does it tell us about?
This is what it tells. This is what my pronouncement is tonight. Yeah. I believe, as a 22-year government ex-government employee who's probably did 12 to 15 days in civilian service on furloughs, yeah. true ones, that's the ones where you don't get your money, because mm-hmm. that's what they're for. It's a budgetary tool is all it is for okay. Department of Defense. They would furlough us to save money, the civilians. Well, anyway, okay. I believe this has been a practice run because there's been almost hysteria. And seriously, Brad, most agencies furlough people from time to time as a budgetary annual thing. It really is not the end of the world, as it's been blown out of proportion by the press.
You mean
the White House for
what would be blown out of if the budget shut down? You're saying it would not be the end of the world?
Oh no, I mean it happens in all of our agencies over
right.
all these years.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Routinely, as a budget, maybe they don't all do it
right.
in one time. That's
okay.
true. And here's my big point. This is my little pronouncement, and I'll eat crow the next time you're on if I'm wrong.
Okay.
Well, they're doing this because of the debt ceiling fight that comes up about the first week of May.
Mm-hmm.
They've tried to create hysteria. They're managing it. If you listen to this breathless thing and him coming out, and it's all absurd, believe
mm-hmm.
me. As I said, for the reasons I've just said, I can't go elaborate more. You wouldn't have time. But it just is way out of proportion. And they're doing it because they plan to do it a second time, and that's when the debt – and the whole thing is to give Obama cover. If you read this article, Obama pledges entitlement reform, you know, or listen to the tape of the audio with him with the Washington Post editorial board, whichever you like to do.
Okay.
If they're both there.
All right.
You'll see he came in planning to do this, and I believe, because I've read that Saxby Chambliss and Mark Warner, I've read it repeatedly, plan to leverage Erskine Bowles, Alan Simpson plan on – it's going to – in other words, they're going to say if you don't adopt the plan, President Obama, White House,
right.
adopt this plan and cut Social Security and do everything they proposed in the moment of truth,
right.
we will not extend the debt ceiling.
Okay.
So this is just leading up,
right.
and it's just a sort of a dry run for the big thing.
Okay,
and
let me, Ellen, you got to take a breath there. So thank
okay.
you. So
Sorry. So
basically you're saying that Obama is purposely the one pushing this to the edge. This is not the Republicans holding things hostage, but this
exactly.
is actually Obama doing this, right?
The Kabuki
right.
Theater that the other
there's a lot of Kabuki theater, but I think he would, have preferred to have been out of this long ago, because now they're going to have to do it all over for not only the debt ceiling, but for the 2012 budget as well. But I take your point, and well done using your public airwaves to get him out there. Thanks, Alan. I do appreciate the call. All right. Have a great weekend. I got to go. I'm sorry. Can I get one more in? Yeah, let me try to get one more in. Mike in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Mike, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's on your mind, sir?
Great show. Thanks.
Thank you.
I just wanted to touch with John on the election machine debacle. And you remember in 2004 in Broward County when they started doing the absentee ballots
mm-hmm.
and running them through the voting machines
mm-hmm.
In paper form. All of a sudden, the machines started reporting votes backwards. They were taking off presidential race as well as taking off votes for the gambling issue that was on the ballot, which made our ballots unique.
Was that are you talking about 2000 or 2004?
2004.
Okay.
Okay, and it was in Broward County.
All right, because I know in Volusia County, of course, in 2000, that, 16,022 votes in Volusia County were registered, negative 16,022 votes for Al Gore in 2000. And no one to this day, on a Diebold system, by the way, and no one to this day has ever explained why there was negative 16,022 votes in Volusia County. But your point I got to get to a break, Mike.
Other than they had to change the programming just before, and when you change variables and for sinister reasons, those variables change other variables that cause errors like this.
There's,
to show up in more than one space.
Yeah, it's child's play, frankly, to hack these systems. We have seen it over and over and over again. When will we do a goddamn thing about it? That's what I'll be talking about coming up next with more of your calls. Brad, in for Mike Malloy.
The world keeps telling me to get a grip or I won't last. Gotta break away from solitude and let go of my past.
Hey, baby, I love you so. Hey, baby, let's go. Let's go sailing on my boat by the light of the silvery moon. By the light of the silvery moon.
Yes.
I'm
By the light of the silvery moon, a deal has been struck in Washington to avert a federal government shutdown, which is either good news or it's not. Earlier in the show, he spoke with David Dayen. He said the rumor was a $29 billion cut. They did not get into the specifics. Either John Boehner or President Obama, who both spoke within the last hour. But a budget deal has been reached with the leaders of both parties. Barack Obama says some of the cuts will be painful. That's a worry, isn't it? The largest annual spend, and he's the worst negotiator ever. I'm just saying, just throwing that in here. Largest annual spending cuts in our history. But he says that we protected the investments needed to win the future. We will find out what all of that means, I suspect, in the days ahead, now that they have reached that agreement. Okay, let me get to Bruce, and then I'll give you some news on Wisconsin. Bruce, from Santa Paula, California, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Yeah.
What's
hey,
up?
I just called back because I listened to that, the Access
yes.
Database, you know,
the press conference. Yeah,
yeah,
what did you make of what Kathy Nicholas had to say?
Well, first of all, the thing that she said about clicking the save button multiple times, there is no save button on Access. It just doesn't exist. The only right. place it exists is when you're making, you know, internal changes in a form structure or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and then you save those changes. But there is no save button. It
so,
just doesn't exist.
So you don't accept her explanation?
Oh, absolutely not.
At all.
Now, the thing about saving the database, you know, you live close enough to me that we could get together at a coffee shop. I'll bring my laptop. I got Access 2007 on it.
Don't threaten me, Bruce. yeah.
And I can actually demonstrate to you, import an Excel spreadsheet
yeah.
and show you how it works.
Right.
I mean, it's just not that. It basically, if you import, once you've imported that spreadsheet, it's in the table. It's there. You can't not do it. You can't make it not save it.
Right.
You know, I can import it.
Bruce, can you imagine any way that perhaps she used the wrong words? We'll give her the benefit of the doubt for the moment. Perhaps she used the wrong words. Can you come up with any way that the scenario she explained where numbers are brought in don't actually get all the way in before
no.
it's printed? Maybe her print selection.
The only,
maybe
the
they were outside her print selection field in the spreadsheet.
The one comment she made that made a little bit of sense was about the extra columns
mm-hmm.
in the spreadsheet. If they change the name on the columns, then it's possible that data would go to it would still be in the table,
mm-hmm.
but it would not be necessarily in the proper place.
Right.
So that is, there's some little bit of fudge factor there, but the way she explained it was very clear that she imported this Excel spreadsheet and then she didn't save the data in Access.
And she's supposed to be an IT expert
yeah.
of
well,
some sort.
I would, like I said, if you want to see it, I can show it to you.
I got you.
I mean,
no, I believe you, Bruce,
you know,
and I do got to get...
It's just not that it just doesn't work that way with Access.
I got you, Bruce, and I got to get to a break here. I
sure,
do appreciate you looking at it. And got
you. I know for a fact it can't happen that way.
Gotcha. All right. I do appreciate, Bruce,
your
calling back and checking
right.
on that. Yeah, you're not alone in saying that Kathy Nicholas's explanation simply didn't hold water. And that is why, one of the reasons why, Joanne Kloppenburg's campaign has now announced that they will file open records requests, quote, for all relevant documentation related to the reporting of election results in Waukesha County, as well as to the discovery and reporting of the errors announced by the county. At the same time, the State Government Accountability Board, which oversees elections in Wisconsin, says they are dispatching officials to Waukesha County, to the county clerk's office, to review procedures used in tallying those results of Tuesday's Supreme Court elections. More news on that as we move ahead. Brad Friedman in for Mike.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the end.
Through a hole in the air from those Nancy tears.
Yeah, that's what they keep telling me. Democracy is coming to the USA. They tell us that every year, every 2 years. But if we learn anything from Wisconsin and the Supreme Court election, we don't yet have a real democracy, at least not a citizen overseeable democracy in this country. We learned this once again this week in Wisconsin when suddenly, out of nowhere, with almost no explanation, at least no plausible explanation, Waukesha County Clerk Kathy Nicholas announced 14,000 votes that she didn't know about previously. Well, she knew about them, but nobody else knew about them. And suddenly, a race with 1.5 million votes cast, which had a 204-vote margin, suddenly has a 7,500-vote margin, or just over 7,500 votes. Interesting number in that 7,500 votes is just about 0.5% in the gap between Justice David Prosser, who is a supporter of the Republican Governor Scott Walker, and Assistant Attorney General Joanne Kloppenburg. It may put an automated state-sponsored recount just out of reach. Joanne Kloppenburg would have to pay for that recount herself. The question is, why does there need to be a recount in the first place? And why do we use the word recount when the ballots have not actually been counted at all? Yes, they have paper ballots in most of Wisconsin. That's the good news. But they run them through optical scan machines made by Diebold. You know the name. Sequoia. You know the name. ESNS. You know the name. Populex. Systems that are often failed. Systems that are very easily manipulated. The paper runs through the systems and tells us what the result is, and nobody bothers to check it. Nobody bothers to oversee it. In Wisconsin, you can't have a hand count unless you go to court to get a court order for a hand examination of the ballots. Now, with this news that Kathy Nicholas came out with, this Republican activist who is the county clerk who oversees the elections in Waukesha County, that she suddenly found these votes out of nowhere. And by the way, she used to work with Justice David Prosser in the Republican Assembly there. She received she was given a clemency for that's not the word. All of a sudden, I'm losing what the word is. But she was she would not be charged with criminal charges back in 2001 when they were investigating some pretty bad doings there inside the Republican caucus. And in fact, they had to put the Republican caucus out of business because they were doing politicking. On office time, she was let off the hook in exchange for her testimony. These are the people that we are told we should trust. People like Joanne Kloppenburg. People like Kathy Nicholas. People like Kathy Nicholas who keep the election results on their own computer in their own office where nobody else can oversee the process. Election results of paper ballots that have been scanned by computer systems where nobody can see the process. Nobody can tell if they've been counted accurately or not. These are the people that we are told we should just trust. Oh, just trust. Just trust in the process. Now, we have some evidence today, as we spoke about a little bit about earlier in the show, that, in fact, those 14,000 votes that suddenly appeared out of nowhere may not have appeared out of nowhere. That, in fact, there was a newspaper, a small local paper in Brookfield, where these votes were said to have appeared, a report by Lisa Sink of the Brookfield Patch. And she, in fact, posted on election night, a little bit after midnight on April 5th, it would have been the morning of April 6th, 10,859 votes for Prosser, 3,456 votes for Kloppenburg. That's 3, 4, 5, 6 for Kloppenburg. The exact same numbers that Kathy Nicholas announced yesterday. There was no change. These numbers were posted and published, and you can go to bradblog.com and you can see the link to the article. They were posted on Tuesday night. Lisa Sink says that she got these numbers. She told me, because I contacted her today to confirm this, She told me that she got the numbers straight on election night at City Hall from the city clerk's office, typed it up at City Hall, and posted the story at 12:24 a.m. And that's why it says April 6th instead of April 5th. She says she didn't get any results from the county or AP because she only needed the Brookfield city votes for her report. Well, that's good. It gives some confirmation of these numbers. She said what was or was not included in the countywide totals that Nicholas gave to AP on election night, I have no idea. That's according to Lisa Sink. Only Nicholas and maybe AP have that info. Why don't we? Why don't we, the people, have this info? Well, Kathy Nicholas determined that she did not want to include the municipalities in her totals on election night, that she sort of bunched everything together. So nobody noticed. Nobody knew what was real, what was not. And that was her decision. She made that alone. It made it impossible to have citizen oversight. We are supposed to trust Kathy Nicholas. I don't think we should have to trust anybody in an election. Our system was not built on trust. It was built on checks and balances. And the greatest election officials in this country, like Ion Sancho, who we had from Florida, Leon County, Florida, who we had on this show earlier this week, he will tell you, don't trust me. There's no reason to trust me. There's no reason to trust anyone in an election. If you can't see it, there's no reason that you should accept it. I agree. I have been talking about these stories here on the Mike Malloy Show, on Stephanie Miller Show, all over the radio, at bradblog.com. We have thousands and thousands of pages on this stuff, trying to make this point over and over and over and over. And yet, we still keep these same stupid, secret, proprietary systems, and we allow our election officials to tell us that we don't have to see what's going on, that we should trust them. Back in October of 2005, I was on the air talking about this on my friend Peter B. Collins' show, who, by the way, I'll be on again tonight up at 1 a.m. KGO, 1 a.m. Pacific time in San Francisco. But back in 2005, I was on the air with the 13-year register of voters in Monterey County, California, with his new voting systems made by Sequoia. He was quite proud of those systems. The systems that were 100% unverifiable and have since been decertified in the state of California, thankfully. But when I was asking him questions about this this system, this 13-year election official, Tony Anchundo, the registrar of Monterey County, California, well, here's the question and his answer from October of 2005.
It sounds like Mr. Anchundo is suggesting that the vote count will actually be taken from the cartridge. So in other words, when one votes and you see that result on that piece of paper, how does a voter or anyone else know that what is actually marked on the cartridge is the same as what's on the paper?
Well, how will the voter know? They won't know, obviously, at that time. There is obviously going to have to be some trust and faith in the elections official, and in this case, it's me.
There obviously has to be some trust and faith in the election official. In this case, it was me. That's Tony Anchundo, the well-respected 13-year Monterey County Registrar of Voters back in October of 2005. A few short months after that interview, in July of 2006, Tony Trust Me Anchundo was charged with 43 criminal counts, including charges of forgery, misapplication of funds, embezzlement, falsification of accounts, and grand theft of nearly $80,000 of county money. Remember, you have to have trust and faith in your election officials. In this case, it would be me, said Tony Anchundo. In December of 2006, Anchundo pleaded no contest to all 43 criminal charges. I am sure Tony Anchundo was a very nice fellow. He seemed very nice. I have no idea, as a matter of fact, what party he was even from. I don't know if he was a Democrat, a Republican. I don't really care. All I know is that after spending all of these years writing thousands of pages at bradblog.com and seeing these same situations happen over and over and over and over again, where we have no idea who won an election, where we are told we are supposed to simply trust in the computers that count these ballots, that we are supposed to simply trust in the election officials. Election officials like Tony Anchundo, who pled no contest to all 43 criminal charges. Election officials like Kathy Nicholas, who says nothing to worry about. I'll keep the computers that have the election results in my office so that nobody else can see it. Because it's more secure that way if only I see it. Security by obscurity. And then when she finds 14,000 votes in one of the most important elections in the state of Wisconsin in years, we're told, oh, it was just an accident. I forgot to hit the save button. But there is no save button in Microsoft Access. But we're supposed to trust her. And we're supposed to trust these machines that count our paper ballots. A lot of people say, oh, well, there's paper ballots. There is nothing to worry about. Yes, there is. If citizens can't oversee it, they can't trust it. If they can't see inside a computer counting these optical scan ballots, there is no reason to trust it. I have been saying this over and over and over for years. Do you really need another 2000 election debacle to hit us in 2012, in 2014, in 2016? 20? When? When is it enough? There is a gold standard for democracy. In the closest elections, when we have no idea who won because it's so close, what do? We hand count the paper ballots in front of the citizenry, in front of the public, in front of the video cameras, so there is no question about who won or lost that election. That is presuming if the chain of custody for those paper ballots has been secure. And on that, we generally have to, what? Trust the election officials that the chain of custody has been secured. Enough. This is our democracy. This is the lifeblood of this nation. If we can't figure out how to run an election in this country that the supporters of both the winner and the loser believe when they walk away, that the winner and the loser can both believe that the results are accurate, then we don't have a democracy. We need to be able to oversee the counting of our own ballots in our own elections. That is self-governance. That is what is envisioned in our Constitution. And when we are cut out of that process, then our democracy has been taken away from us. Enough. Enough. Of course, I can't do it alone. There are a lot of great election integrity advocates out there, but there are not enough. There are not nearly enough. You are needed. And I'm not going to tell you that hand-counted paper ballots at the precinct on election night in front of the people with the results posted at the precinct before the ballots move anywhere. I'm not going to tell you that that is going to work everywhere, every time. I don't know. I'm not going to make the mistake that the voting machine companies made when they came in and said, trust us, this will work. But I know it works in New Hampshire. I know that in New Hampshire, quite often, where in 40% of the towns where they do count by hand, the totals are often done, completed, overseen by everybody in the community without question before the Diebold towns have their results in. I know they can do it in New Hampshire. So I know we can do it elsewhere in this nation. We need pilot programs, hand-counted pilot programs. And you can go to bradblog.com, look up Democracy's Gold Standard, and learn more about this, and take action. And look for Nancy Tobey's book on this from New Hampshire on verifiable, hand-counted elections, counted by actual people, actual human beings. It ain't that hard. It ain't rocket science. It's democracy. We don't need fancy computers. We don't need secret software. We don't need to trust our election officials. I don't care if they're Republican, if they're Democratic, if they're independent. I don't care. It's not about trust. It's about checks, balance, and oversight. This is not about right and left. It's about right and wrong. I continue to say it for years. I hope you will join me in saying it out there in your local community, because I can't do this alone, and there's not enough of us fighting this fight. This is what matters. This is what matters. Democracy matters. please go out, educate yourself, go to your county official, ask them, can we have a hand-counted paper ballot pilot program in this county? Do it in a small election. Don't ask too much all at once. Let's learn how to do this. But we need to be able to have transparency, 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 oversight, oversight, oversight for true self-governance in this country. Enough of these supreme debacles like the one we're seeing in Wisconsin and that we seem to see now each and every election. Enough. Democracy's gold standard. It's there. Let's get it. You're listening to Brad on the Mike Malloy Show.
Let's say goodbye with a smile, dear, just for a while, dear, we must part. Don't let this parting upset you, I'll not forget you, sweetheart. We'll meet again, don't know where. Don't know when.
No, we don't, do we?
But I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
Actually, I think June. June is that sunny day when we will be back on the Mike Malloy Show. That's what I'm told. We'll see. Maybe sooner. Of course, if for your late night folks, I'll be on the air in San Francisco at 1 a.m. tonight. You can check that, too. Anyway, my thanks tonight to producer, screener, call room girl. What are you? Producer, screener.
Chat room. Moderator.
And goddess.
Sometimes coming in and saying stuff person.
Stuff person. Desi Doyen. Thanks, Des. Been a great week.
You're welcome. Really. And thanks to everybody in the chat room. You guys have been just awesome. Just delightful to hang out with. Thank you so much.
Don't believe her. Not for a second. My thanks also to Tony Sorrentino here at LA's K-Talk AM 1150, who never goes on the air, but I'm going to make him now. Tony, thank you.
You're welcome.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's all you got? No wonder you never go on the air. Great job all week long. Really enjoyed it. As ever, I always enjoy working with you. You are the best engineer in the business. I mean it. Thank you, brother. Really appreciate it. We'll see you in June. All right. Yeah, 1 minute. I know. All right. Let's see. Also, my thanks to my guests tonight, David Dayan of Fire Dog Lake and Nicole Sandler of Radio or Not. My thanks also to For Earth in the chat room. And if you're listening on MikeMalloy.com, please stay tuned for Head On with Bob Kincaid tonight. Of course, my thanks, as always, to Mike and Kathy Malloy, who I hear will be back right here on these public airwaves next Monday night. America, your long national nightmare is over. Until we meet again, you can find me on the Twitters at the Brad Blog, of course, over at bradblog.com. I've had a great week. Thanks, everybody. Until we see you again, we'll see you over at bradblog.com. Keep it lit, America.